Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, November 20th, 2011. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Yeah. Yo.
So, doing better than you were last week?
Oh, yeah. Much better. Yes, I did get a beautiful night of blissfully restful sleep. I mean, it's probably helped on Friday by the fact I went and I watched a shitty movie.
Although last weekend's shitty movie didn't help.
Which movie did I watch last week? I can't remember.
Tower Heist.
It was funny. I mean, that one was funny. I mean, this was just plain boring. This is just, I went to see Breaking Dawn.
Okay.
Not because I wanted to. I actually had been trying to figure out a way to get out.
I figure you're a perfect demographic for that movie. I mean, you're a teenage girl, aren't you?
Fuck, yes. And I tried to figure out a way to get out of it.
I should say a preteen.
Yeah, preteen.
Because, if you're a later teenager, then this is so uncool now.
But women like this movie to adults. I met a whole bunch of older women that like this stupid fucking thing.
Uh-huh.
So I tried to tell my wife, look, why don't you call Eileen? Why don't you call this person? Because anybody, for God's sakes, okay? No, they can't go. No. And I'm like, fine. I'll go watch this damn thing. And it's slow. It's plotting. It sucks. I mean, there's no other way around it. Look, the only people that like this, and I looked at the reviews, they agreed with me. Only if you're a fan of this series and watch the other movies would you like this piece of crap. Because the problem is that the movie is not... The main problem with it, it's not like a self-contained movie. If you really didn't watch any of the prior movies... You didn't actually read any of the books. You don't fucking understand anything that's going on to start off with. Okay?
Yay!
You're like, why are these fucking people getting married? And by the way, why does it take an hour to get fucking married in a movie? Yeah. Usually in a movie, the wedding is like a 10-minute thing. No, they drag this thing for an hour.
Yeah, okay.
In which I proceeded to fall asleep.
And meanwhile...
And snore. And my wife goes and pushes me to wake me up. And I still wake up from my sleep. And this wedding is still going on!
And meanwhile, you're just thinking, the book was so much better.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Okay, so we have real topics today.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the super committee, which was doomed to failure and is about to actually do so.
Yes, they're about. I just saw a news flash on CNN on my iPad saying that the super committee members are right now just trying to draft how to communicate the fact that they failed.
So our other topics are Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
iTunes Match, which both of us tried this week.
Oh, you did try too.
I also tried it this week. Uh-huh. And I wanted to talk a bit about SOPA, because piracy is one of my hobby horses and, all the intellectual property stuff, but we haven't talked about it in a long time.
Yes, we have.
So, let's get started. But first, I did want to mention, you just mentioned your CNN news alert, so I just wanted to bitch about something related to that.
Oh, gosh, I bet I know what you're going to bitch about.
So, I have... the CNN app on my iPhone. I don't have the iPad.
Right.
But, and I used to get, CNN news alerts by text message. Mm-hmm. But a while ago, I was like, oh, the app will do alerts too. So I turned off the CNN alerts by text message and turned on the alerts in the app.
Okay.
Okay? So, but it has a little problem.
Which is?
The alert will come up. It'll say CNN news alert, and I'll see, the first few words will show up in the alert, because I have it, the little kind that goes at the top of the screen and then disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just, but if I click on it, because I'm like, oh, something happened, I want to find out more. I click on it, it opens up the CNN app.
App, right.
To its homepage.
Not to the story.
Not to the story.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day. That's utterly annoying.
Most of the time, the story's not even there.
Yeah, I know. I don't get that. That really makes no sense. What's the point of fucking flashing me something if then for me to hit it and then not to get through any content behind it whatsoever?
I mean, this has pissed me off several times now. This alert is getting turned off. Yeah, I've got many choices in this world on where to get my news alerts, my breaking news alerts. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stick with one that sucks.
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of news alerts coming through. Usually I have a CNBC app, which also has news alerts, which, by the way, they actually do send you to a story.
That.
Or at least they'll send you to the page where the story is and say, it's a breaking story. We still have it, but more will come in a little. Okay,
yes. All right? That's fine. I understand that when it's first breaking, there might not be that much detail.
Right, but it will tell you that there is detail to come later, okay? But I don't know, the CNN app doesn't do that. I actually thought that you were going to complain about the fact that I received two alerts this week, which weren't really alerts.
From
other random apps. Like Shazam sent me a thing saying, hey, you can match all the songs you want for free! And I'm like, really? What? I didn't know this?
Well, it used to be free, then they made it so you could only do five without paying, so I guess they're going back, but...
Yeah, but why the hell do I want that in an alert?
Well, exactly. You know,
it's not an alert.
I went through the new alert section in the preferences that iOS 5 enhanced, and just last week, and went through each one and was like, I don't want this app sending me alerts. I don't want this app sending me alerts. I don't want this app sending me alerts, and turned them all off, and only turned on the ones that I wanted, and for each of those, picked which kind of alert I wanted.
Yeah, because it
was worth the 5 minutes to do.
Well, I'm going to go fucking do that, because the other day I was just like fucking annoyed. All of a sudden I'm like, I hear a beep, 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 and I'm like, oh, let me see. I'm like, I can't.
You wouldn't believe how many apps are like wanting to send you alerts that have no possible reason to actually send you an alert.
I mean,
other than marketing themselves.
Right. And I'm like, a marketing message is not a fucking alert.
Yeah. Okay. Super committee.
Super duper committee. Well, the super duper Well, I think we called this.
I think everybody called this.
I think everybody called this. You didn't have to be a genius to call this. I gotta agree. I mean, they failed miserably. Which I'm okay with, because, you know.
Well, we said kind of. When this whole deal was done, that the best possible outcome is that they would fail and the automatic triggers would hit.
Yeah.
Because they would be deep and they'd hit all kinds of things. They'd hit both domestic and defense. However, one of the things that is being talked about extensively right now
is
of course, which something we also mentioned at the time, which is, of course, the whole deal how Congress can never bind a future Congress. So now the question is how they will change the triggers to keep them from ever actually coming into effect.
But you know what? Yes and no. Because here's the one thing about this. One thing that we've also found about this Congress is when a previous Congress decides on something, the next Congress finds it's impossible to reverse it.
Well, but here's the thing on this. The Republicans are in exactly the position that they wanted to be with this because of what the Democrats' negotiating status has always been and how high Alex. Can we turn the sound off on that?
I was like, going to go, what is that?
Thank you. That's a little truck.
Okay.
It's actually Mater from Cars.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, here's the deal. There are two classes of spending cuts here. There's the domestic programs, and there's the defense cuts.
Right.
And so the Republicans can come in, especially if they continue to be in charge of the House and maybe take over the Senate in the next elections, who knows, and introduce a bill that will reduce the defense cuts or eliminate the defense cuts.
But it's a year from now.
Yeah, but look, here, right.
But it's a year from now.
But here's the deal. For that, you've got even like the Democratic Secretary of Defense saying, oh my God, these cuts are so horrible, we can't have this, it would like screw our troops over, blah, 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 blah. And so you're likely to get enough Democrats to support that. But meanwhile, the other side of the equation, the Republicans are never going to budge on, and those might stay in place. So you'll get the domestic cuts, but not the defense cuts, or something like that.
I think that, I don't know. They better not, because I think this will just keep, this is just going to piss off a hell of a lot more people, including myself.
Well, and they've said that, in fact, a few people have gone and made commentaries about how if the committee fails, the triggers enact, but then before the triggers actually do anything, Congress just says, oh, never mind, and changes them in some way, that what little remaining confidence anybody has in the American political system's ability to deal with this will just evaporate.
Yeah, and let's face it, right now, Congress disapproval is such a is at an all-time high. I mean, it is. So, you know, I mean, these people are just... Fuck. A bunch of fuckheads.
The question is, what way out is there? Ever? I mean, as long as you've got the basic dynamics that are in play today, you know, is there a way out of this situation other than eventually it coming to such a bad head that it actually does fall apart? Maybe next time around we do let the, you know, us default on the debt. Maybe at some, you know, at some point, you know, Congress will be completely unable to do anything ever, and, you know, Obama will be minting super coins, you know? I don't know. But yeah, so utter failure. I mean, basically, and again, the committee, everybody kind of knew. Like, the positions going in... Yes. The position coming in was that the Republicans were completely unwilling to budge on revenue.
Well, they've shown themselves very adept at being...
But at the same time, they're not really... You know, there's not even a cuts-only solution isn't really on the table either.
No, there is.
I mean,
because it's impossible to get there by cuts alone.
Well, it's not impossible, but you'd need to cut.
Well,
by 50% or so.
Right.
Yeah, between 40% and 50% across the board, everything would do it with cuts only.
Right.
But, you know, there's that whole little niggling thing about the fact that would be absolutely devastating to the economy.
Oh, that. Yeah,
just a little detail.
I heard about that. Yeah, absolutely. That could be a problem. That could be just a small problem. I understand.
I think we could live with it.
I think fucking goddamn fudge.
Or like I've been saying before, spend all you want, but just actually print the money instead of borrowing it. That would also destroy the economy, but, you know, in a more fun way.
Dee dee dee. Well, I don't know. You know, I still remember the stories. You know, the Germans. You know, they never forget the fact that, you know, between World War I and World War II, inflation got so crazy in Germany. I mean, it was just, you know, people would get paid with like wheelbarrows of money. I mean, and they just ran off to stores to buy stuff. Okay. As quickly as possible, because if you waited a couple of days, it was worthless.
Right?
I mean, you know.
Like I said, it would be a more fun way of doing it.
You know, dear God. Okay.
Well. You know, I don't use wheelbarrows enough as it is.
Why is it that that we are in this bind? Why can't these people fucking do anything? I mean, is it just that they are this self-absorbed? I mean, no. Really?
Well, fundamentally, they're... Yes, Alex. Why don't you go watch your movie? Your mom's setting it up.
No.
Yes. Anyway. No, fundamentally, the motivations are set up to be short-term. They're set up to be about the next election.
Yeah.
They're set up because of the way elections work in the U.S., you have to go after your base, not the center, for the most part. Not always, but, you know, because it's first across the post, whatever, voting, non-proportional, You have the basic, you know, you don't need to build a broad consensus when you're running for election for yourself. You know, you just need to get enough to get just over 50%. And so if each of these congresspeople is working in their own self-interest, then, you know, this is what you get. And we're not lining people up to actually put aside their own self-interest and work for the public interest. It's just not happening.
No, it's not.
Okay, we need to take a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back talking about Gingrich a little bit. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. And we're back.
We're back.
Sorry about all the sounds in the background, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been experiencing technical difficulties.
Alex brought my laptop from the other room into here, plugged it in, and asked for his movie to be started. His mom was trying to get him out of here so that we could be quiet, but he kept bringing the computer back. And so now he's watching his movie a few feet away from me with the volume turned down really low, and he went and grabbed a bag of potato chips that he's now eating. Anyway, so to continue, Gingrich!
Gingrich. Okay, so Mr. Gingrich gets paid by Freddie Mac $1.6 million between 2000 and 2008.
Before you get into that, I just want to give a current status.
You want to give the current status
the
first
current
before
status
I go to the money thing?
Real Clear Politics, poll of polls, right
poll
now.
Of polls. Okay, where are we?
Romney, 22%. Mm. Gingrich, 21.6%.
Okay.
Kane, 18.6. Perry is now at 8.2. Paul, 7.8. Then we have Bachman at 5.4, Santorum at 1.8, and Huntsman at 2.2. Oh, Huntsman just took ahead of Santorum. Oh, wow. Anyway.
Woohoo!
So the point of that is, you know, we talked about Newt Mentum last week. Newt
yes.
had his big surge. He's actually essentially tied with Romney at this point. There are some polls that actually have him ahead of Romney. Perry it has fallen almost to the floor. Kane is on his way down. So right now, the top two, Romney and Gingrich, fighting it out. Kane just a little bit below, but on his way down. And so everybody, of course, assumes that Gingrich, like all the rest, well, will have his moment in the sun, and then fade again. And then, of course, we'll see if the ones who haven't had their moment in the sun, Ron Paul, Santorum, Huntsman, and maybe, what was that other guy? Johnson was still running, but he's not even listed here because he polls so low.
Okay.
And he isn't allowed into most of the debates anymore. He hasn't been in a debate in like a month. But anyway, we'll see if those guys get spikes too. You know, we have Gingrich's turn. Maybe Huntsman or Santorum are next. But anyway, let's talk about Gingrich. So, as everyone expected, once Gingrich was polling well, people would start looking into the things he'd done and the things he'd said and blah, 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 and they'd find all kinds of nice things.
Well, the thing is, like somebody said, dude, I mean, if there's a candidate with skeletons and with a lot of skeletons in the closet, I mean, my lord, is it not Gingrich? I mean, you know, somebody was doing a summary.
He's done just about everything, and like a lot of these things have already come to light. I mean, if you remember, he left the house in disgrace over an ethics scandal.
He was fined, like, I don't know how many. How much money for the only Speaker of the House ever for, like, tax violations. I mean, he misrepresented income, had income tax violations, left, you know, dumped his wife while she was, like, in cancer, was banging some one girl, and then was dumped, you know, then it went and, like, slept with another one.
He's had three wives. Each one of them was someone he was having an affair with before he divorced his previous wife.
Right.
Well, I guess, except the first one.
And this was during, you know, the whole Clinton impeachment thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. While he was doing Clinton impeachment, he was doing this, which is the whole hypocrisy thing. Of course, he didn't lie in front of a grand jury about it.
That's true.
But anyway, the point is not any one of these specific scandals being too horribly relevant right now. It's just he's got tons of them.
Yeah, and then the new one came out about the fact that he had been going on and on about the irresponsible mortgage companies and like all these people and like how it was criminal and that it was Congress and the Democrats, even though the Republicans were in control of Congress during the time. But hey, you know what? You know, let's not get facts getting away that they were the ones, you know, forcing the housing market and like forcing all these mortgages on people. And then we find out that he was on the payroll of Freddie Mac to the tune of $1.6 million over the last few years. And then they ask, well, what the fuck would a mortgage company need to hire this guy for? And he says, with a fucking straight face, oh, well, because I was a historian, so they needed my history lessons. And I'm like, really? 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 Okay? Wow. Yes, I wanted Newt Gingrich, the renowned historian, to tell us about the previous housing busts.
Well, and apparently they were looking for him to produce a document that they could use to shop around to advocate certain positions. But he came in, gave like a 1-hour lecture and left and never actually produced the document.
Well, I mean, if I could get paid $1.6 million for this shit, I guess I, you know.
I want to know how to get this gig.
I want to know how to get this gig. Right. Yes, that's what I don't understand. You know, how did I get this fucking gig?
I will tell everybody listening right now, I will happily fly anywhere in the world and give you a 1-hour speech about any topic you want for $1.6 million.
Absolutely. And look, actually, I will one-up Sam on this. I'll do it for half. I'll do it for half. Fuck it. What the hell? I'll give you 50% off. I mean, what the hell? You know? I mean, I want to be generous about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole point is that these guys, I mean, especially Gingrich, has been quite, you know, attacking of the mortgage companies and all of this stuff and all the shenanigans and all of this bullshit and whatever, and the motherfucker was in the pocket of the fucking companies themselves!
Or just taking advantage of them.
Yes!
Either way. Excuse me. And, you know, They also pointed out, like, people are saying, well, you were doing lobbying. Well, in fact, there are very specific legal definitions of lobbying, and he may not have met them, you know?
Right.
Because he was just, even if he was on their payroll and then said some things publicly about how good whatever it was they wanted to do or whatever, that's not specifically lobbying unless he's going in to specific Congress people and telling them things in specific ways, blah, blah, blah. Of course, at the same time, while he was taking their money, wasn't he arguing against them back then or not until later?
And I think that a lot of those statements have come out. I mean, look, like everybody, nobody was, you know, jumping all over these agencies or the banks or everything.
Wait. Now, I thought Gingrich was all telling them how they were they were going for a bubble and they needed to watch
that's
out and warned everybody
that's what,
in advance.
That's what he claims he said during, you know, yeah, he was saying that his advice was that there was a bubble and supposedly that, but I don't know, that's what he's claiming. I mean, let's face it, if he gave a speech, I mean, who knows what the fuck he actually talked about.
He probably talked about tulips.
Right.
The typical bubble example. Sorry.
It's a multi-year, like, it was painted again. Okay, let's see. It's a multi-year project. Okay, it says here.
Huh?
It was paid to Gingrich Group. Gingrich Group has many clients, he told reporters. I offer strategic advice to a lot of different companies. His campaign followed by listing one of them, including IBM, Microsoft, and U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I did no lobbying of any kind, is what he said. When asked about the $300,000 per year, two-year contract in 06 and 07, Mr. Gingrich said he had acted as a historian. Okay? He said Freddie officials had asked him to fight, telling him, "We are now making loans to people who have no credit history and have no record of paying back anything, but that's what the government wants us to do." Bullshit. You really think that a Freddie Mac official went and actually said this? My ass. Okay? Okay? And as I said to, them at the time, this is a bubble. This is insane. This is impossible. This is, you know, I mean... Okay, so somebody said Freddie wasn't spending $25,000 to $35,000 a month for years to have somebody give them history lessons. And what would happen if that in 1945 in Japan had won? One former official said, "Okay, okay." Oh no, here. Oh, sorry, I skipped this. Five officials with knowledge of the interactions and speaking under condition anonymity to avoid getting drawn into a public fight with Mr. Gingrich said they had never heard of him saying any such thing. Okay, Freddie wasn't spending $25,000 to $35,000 a month for years. If somebody give them history lessons, what would happen if in 1945 in Japan had won? Okay, basically, he is just flat out right now lying. Okay, so,
well,
but, you know,
doesn't everybody? Isn't it, you know, the thing to do?
I guess so. I guess that's pretty fair.
Okay, anything else to say about Gingrich or any of the other Republicans?
Yeah, well, you know, for his part, Mr. Gingrich said he welcomed the scrutiny. Everybody will dig up everything they can dig up. That's fine, they should. Oh, well, okay. You know what? Another one of these guys. You know what?
Gary Hart moment.
Yeah, exactly. This is a perfect Gary Hart moment, exactly. Okay, good luck, Gingrich.
Yeah, like... I give his, you know what else is a bubble? His poll ratings.
That's I agree with. Now that I totally agree with.
You know, and I give him 2 weeks max before he craters again, and we're once again left with Romney at the top. Unless, like I said, maybe it's Ron Paul's turn.
Fuck.
Maybe it's Santorum's turn. I hope to God it would be Huntsman's turn if Huntsman's the most reasonable guy up there on that stage on the Republican Party,
maybe.
But he's at 1%, yeah, or 2% now, I guess. But
oh, I mean, I guess Romney isn't that much of a whack job.
The problem with Romney is much the same as the problem with McCain 4 years ago, at least from the perspective of someone who is not, you know, a right-wing Republican, is that he's actually, if you look at his record, fairly damn moderate.
Right.
And a fairly reasonable guy. However, in order to get through this damn primary process, he's claiming he's the opposite. And he's basically showing himself to be, like, willing to, like, say whatever he needs to say to be elected. And not having a strong moral center about things. And, you know... You can't actually believe that, like, you know, and the problem is if he gets elected after pandering to these guys, he's going to be to some degree beholden to them and have to act like that to some degree because he's going to want a second term.
I mean,
you know,
I get it, but also I, you know, my, you know, I'm thinking about this and I'm seeing the super committee failure. And, you know, Romney, who historically has proven to be a moderate, okay,
yeah,
in reality, I mean, is the only hope to elect a guy like Romney in order to fucking, like, you know, fix some of this shit that's happening right now?
You know, honestly, maybe. Because with the Republicans the way they are, they've determined the no strategy is a wonderful one. And if they had a moderate Republican in place, the question is, would they go along with him on a lot of stuff just because he was their Republican president? Or would they actually block him if he tried to do anything reasonable?
Well, it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like what happened with Clinton and the Democrats in the 90s. I mean, Clinton was right of center, okay, a little bit. I mean, let's face it, he was. And but, you know, the problem was that the left, you know, the left Democrats just, you know, what was their choice? I mean, their choice, unfortunately, wound up being fucking like voting for Nader to fucking wind up putting George Bush in power. Look what the fuck that got them. So you know, sometimes you better be careful what you fucking wish for.
Look, the thing is, I would not bet on. Would I rather get nothing done than get done what would get done in a Romney presidency? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But
can't keep going like this.
Yeah, it can.
No, we can. Oh, sure we can. We can go on forever, but it's not a great plan.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Look, I'll say this. Half-assed before has turned out better than doing nothing. Okay, and I will tell you, and you know, because look at what happened with like Bush when he did the compromise in the cuts of the first Bush. Okay,
yeah.
That basically got him out of office. So what if it was half-assed?
Well, all I'm saying.
What if it? Whatever.
All I'm
saying. In the end, it actually was better than doing nothing.
Yeah, but you know what we had when we had George W. Bush first come into office, he came in as the moderate, compassionate conservative.
Right. Correct.
That he was all about, and we've said this before, so I apologize for repeating. But in his campaign, he was all about how well he'd cooperated with Democrats in.
Well, I'm talking about
As governor and how.
But he, I don't know. He always seemed to be like a lunatic to me. I don't know. You know what? I know that he said that, but the one thing is that for me, for some reason, when, you know, to me, I always thought that he was how he turned out to be.
Well, we had actually talked way back then about how, you know, just to prove that he wasn't going to repeat what his father did.
Right.
He would be much more stringent about stuff. But anyway, I think we've said what we can say right now.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be back to talk a little bit about iTunes Match. Completely shifting gears. We'll be back right after this. So we're back.
Hey, great! That was wonderful.
Yvonne and I actually spent almost eight minutes talking about iTunes Match before I realized I wasn't recording. So I'm sorry. So I had gone on at length with my problems with iTunes Match. Rather than repeat all that, Yvonne, why don't you talk about your experience with iTunes Match, and
well,
then maybe
the thing
I'll
is,
skip in.
Look, I actually did not turn it on during the week, okay? Because I saw that I got the update, and I saw that it was coming down, but I didn't do it. Plus, I have a very flaky wireless card on my laptop, okay?
Ah.
Flaky enough that, like, right now, actually, I am going to try an alternative instead of buying a new laptop, which I am a all costs at this moment, because we're just, with my wife, I don't know if I told you, my wife quitting her job.
I think you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned on the show, but.
Yeah, but with my wife quitting her job, I don't want to really go and splurge on any big ticket items at this moment. Okay.
Completely understood. Yep.
Okay. So therefore I realized that the problems have gotten so bad that actually we had no backup to my whatever time machine backup executed successfully in like in a number of months. I actually had to go and like connect my laptop with an actual Ethernet cable in order to get a reliable enough network connection in order to complete a backup. Okay. And so the problem that I've got is, okay, so iTunes Match was something that I didn't want to try to do over our wireless, okay, because of the reliability issues I've been having with it. So I wanted to wait until a Sunday like today, and this morning I connected it in order to do it. So it's doing it right now. Now, the one thing is that, now, of course, this is not finished, but you did address this. I went and I actually turned on on my iPad the thing. Okay, yeah. All right. I turned on iTunes Match. However, I went in and I saw no playlists. Now, I got nervous and I said, oh, shit, am I not going to get my playlist? But you mentioned that you did get your playlist, so it's probably more of a product of the fact that so, it's still only...
it's still transferring. So, in my experience, this part of it, while it was doing iTunes Match, I went ahead and turned it on in the phone before it was done. For anybody who hasn't done this yet, I recommend you let it finish doing its thing on iTunes on your computer before you turn it on your mobile devices or any other computers, etc. Okay. Let it finish first.
Okay.
Because basically when you turn it on, it'll wipe out any local music you already have on that device.
Which wasn't a big deal on this because
And it'll show you what's in the cloud, but not everything will be in the cloud yet. And so it'll look like it's a little confused and it'll only have some things. And gradually over time, it'll get more, but it doesn't seem to be quite real time. So, like, if you're watching iTunes, it'll say, you know, first of all, it'll match however much it matched, and then it'll start uploading songs it couldn't match. It's not like every time it finishes uploading one song, suddenly it's immediately on your device. There's some sort of lag there as well.
Okay.
You know, which kind of makes sense. You know, and I honestly, In the part we didn't record, I'll give the 10-second summary. iTunes Match did not work for me because I use a feature of iTunes that most people probably don't, which is I use dynamic playlists, which Apple calls smart playlists, based on other smart playlists. So not just a smart playlist, but a smart playlist.
Playlist that combines other smart playlists.
Exactly. And I use that exclusively for all my listening. And apparently that is not supported by iTunes Match. So I got it all set up. I found out that this didn't work. I'm like, what the hell? This means I can't, you know, do what I usually do. And so I turned it off. I had some trouble turning it off. I turned it off and things did not go back into the state they were. It took me a few hours and finagling to get it back, but I got it back. Of course, now I've got this $25 a year subscription. Can you cancel it? You probably could cancel it, but you know, I'm going to keep it in place because I am convinced that over the next year, they'll probably improve it some.
Okay.
And maybe they'll add support, and maybe I'll try it again for some other stuff. Like, you know.
Maybe I'll try to have
it suck to another computer or something and see what happens. But
okay. Well, here's a question I've got.
But yes, the playlist did eventually show up. Playlist, not the smart
now,
one.
My second question is, does the music like cache on your device or something, or is it got to be always connected? So say, for example,
I believe, and unfortunately, I didn't get that far. I should have played with it some before I turned it off just to see how it worked. But I sort of got, hold on, Alex, wait, okay, I need this. He's
okay.
Tangled in my microphone cable trying to pull the microphone away.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I need this. Here we go. Okay, good. Okay. Sorry about that. I should have played with it before I turned it off. And I feel like, you know, I'm a bad tech reporter for not doing so. I was just frustrated by the feature and turned it off. I believe the answer is it does do some caching.
Okay.
I don't understand exactly how it decides what to cache, though.
Okay.
And if you want something that's not already in your cache, you are, of course, going to have to download it from the cloud, which will require a connection.
Right. I'm like, if I'm on a plane or another situation where I can't get, you know, can't get the...
It's not doing live streaming from the net of your music.
Okay. All right.
It is providing a cache of your music that, so it's all available, and at any time you can hit the little button and download it. But I'm not sure what the procedure is, whether you have, how you trigger that download. So once you've actually got it set up, Yvonne, you should report back on that next week, because
okay,
I failed in my mission by not trying that part.
All right, well, I'm in the process of doing this, and right now I'm on song 5005 of 5,431 songs checked. So hopefully I will be able to get a report, to what I'm doing, how it's working. And by that time, I should also have my iPhone 4S is scheduled to arrive tomorrow. Finally, it shipped.
And we'll finally be able to talk to Siri.
Yeah, and we will finally be able to talk to Siri.
10 years after everybody else in the world has.
Yes, yes, yes. But, I mean, I ordered a 64 gig white iPhone. I don't know if that's the reason why it took that long, because I took the top.
They've been backlogged for everybody. They've been backlogged.
No, I've heard some people getting black ones a lot faster than getting the white ones.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so because I had gone and actually asked around, and I saw that apparently the black phones are still shipping with quite a lot more speed than the white ones.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we'll report back on Music Match once Yvonne has tried more, but I'll just say...
Not Music Match. Music Match is a sucky piece of crap software that doesn't exist anymore, I think, right? Yeah, it got bought by Yahoo, and then Yahoo managed to annihilate it everything.
Anyway, it's... my bottom line, though, I was disappointed, but maybe I had expectations I shouldn't have. And also... my use case I realized after the fact, look, I basically have one computer that I sync with one phone. Music Match doesn't really come into its own until you have a whole lot of devices.
iTunes Match.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll talk about SOPA.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Hello, before we start our next segment, which is on SOPA, I just wanted to apologize in advance because, my son Alex, who's sometimes in the room while I'm doing these things, despite our best efforts to keep him out, he makes it in, started getting really rowdy, and I was really distracted, and I was trying to talk about SOPA, and I was gonna, look through a list of facts and sort of relate some of the stuff, and, well, I was so distracted and so, scattered, that basically a lot of this next segment is kind of incoherent. And not only is it kind of incoherent, but when I do say things, half the time they're just plain wrong. I got like numerous facts wrong and just was confusing various different things and conflating them together when really they were separate and this and that. So let me tell you two places to go. If you want to know more about SOPA, and what this bill was, what the effects of it, it's the Stop Online Privacy Act, etc. Two resources to go to real quick. One is at CNET.com, a news article posted by Declan McCullough, who, by the way, went to school with Yvonne and I, posted on November 21st, which was, of course, after we recorded the show, but whatever, with a summary. The title is How SOPA Would Affect You, FAQ. It's a good overall summary. Read that, he actually gets his facts right, and he presents the arguments both for and against, which is good. Something posted on the EFF website, that's the Electronic Frontier Foundation, on November 22nd, also after we recorded the show, an article posted called After the Hearing, SOPA Down But Not Yet Out, which updates a bit about what's happened to the bill even since we spoke about it, given there actually was an outpouring of resistance to this bill. So it may not go through, or will go through in a modified form that hopefully will be better, although will probably still suck. In any case, given all that, here's the segment. Just one last reminder, as you listen to this segment, if I am talking, assume I am wrong, and I am saying things that completely have no relation to reality. Thank you. And welcome back!
Jesus Christ!
I did it again, but we only missed a few seconds this time. Recorded. I've been like double. See, I think what happens is I click the record button, and then I leave the mouse over the record button, and then I like move my keyboard or whatever, and I accidentally hit the button again, and then it stops. I've done that twice today. I suck, and like each time we recorded like just a few seconds, and then stopped. Anyway, we didn't actually start talking about anything. I was just talking about my son doing climbing.
Yeah,
we're trying
not to get him killed. Okay.
Anyway, so SOPA, which when I said SOPA, Yvonne was like, what? What the hell are you talking about? What's SOPA?
I must agree. I had no clue what the fuck he was talking about. I had heard of, I think I had heard about it a little bit, but obviously not by the name, but just,
okay.
Just a blurb. I mean, just some people like making noise about it, but that's it.
So let me get into this a little bit, because this is one of my pet issues that gets me really aggravated and really upset, although we have not talked about it here for a while. And this is the whole nonsense about intellectual property enforcement, copyright enforcement, specifically the music and movie industries going after setting up all kinds of laws that are intended to, quote-unquote, stop piracy, but have all kinds of side effects that are incredibly detrimental.
To everybody else.
To everybody else. However, yeah, they consistently, uniformly, every time these things have come up, have essentially made it through Congress and gotten the president's signature bipartisan. This is one of the few things, we were just talking about the dysfunction of our government. This is one of the few things that the Republicans and Democrats actually end up agreeing on and signing by immense margins. Like,
yeah, but the basic only reason that it happens is because they're both a whole bunch of fucking ignorant idiots.
Yeah, well, yes.
Because they know nothing about it, then they don't have enough to go and say, we hate it.
They completely don't understand the tech. Slowly, very slowly, Congress is getting a few people with some technological savvy, but very slowly. For the most part, like, yeah, last time one of these things came up was when you had the whole, like, famous series of tubes, quote, coming from Senator Stevens of Alaska, who's now gone.
Yes.
But... And like, look, we could go back all the way to the Clinton administration with the history of these things getting passed. This latest one, basically, so I'm on Wikipedia. It's the Stop Online Piracy Act. Let me read you the first little bit about it. Introduced into the House October 26, 2011, and a bipartisan group of 12 initial co-sponsors, the bill expands the power of U.S. law enforcement and copyright holders to fight online traffic in copyrighted intellectual property and counterfeit goods. It's now before the House Judiciary Committee, builds on the Pro-IP Act of 2008 and the corresponding Senate bill, the Protect IP Act. Proponents of the bill say it protects intellectual property, including the resultant revenue and jobs, blah, 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 necessary to bolster enforcement, blah, blah, blah. Opponents say its censorship will break the internet, cost jobs, and will threaten it, whistleblowing and other speech. So there are a number of concerns about this. And basically the breakdown has been a whole bunch of internet companies actually came out publicly against this week, and putting various things up on their website saying how this was bad. A good resource, as always, is EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They've got a link right on their front page to stop the internet blacklist rules that gives details. But looking at the fundamentals of it. Where'd I go? I lost my window. I hate it when that happens. Okay, hold on. So here's some summary. Now I'm going off EFF's website. Basically, it grant the government a lot of power to interfere with DNS. So for those of you who don't know, DNS is the system that translates numeric addresses to names. So you type in CNN.com. There's really a server somewhere with an internet IP address that's a long number. The DNS system translates that. Right now, so this would basically give the ability for the copyright holders to go to the Justice Department. Yes, I hear you. And say that, hey, this site is infringing. Or is enabling infringing or whatever. And the Justice Department would be able to change the DNS system to route traffic to that site somewhere else. They are already doing this in a few cases, but they actually require a judicial process at the moment. This would let them go just to the Justice Department without going to any judges, without having the site able to defend themselves in any way, shape, or form. And if the Justice Department agrees, then kaboom, off goes the DNS. Now, people have pointed out there are various ways to get around this. Anybody who cares can go directly to the numeric address, and there are all sorts of services that have been set up already to help you identify when this has happened and redirect you. But additional things that have been added, so this removes the judicial review. This adds the ability that they can go beyond that, though, and go to ISPs and tell them that they have to block the site. They can go to credit card companies and other financial institutions and say they have to stop servicing, stop payments. There's a lot of this stuff, and the key part, the worst part of all of this is all of this is set up in such a way to bypass any judicial process where you actually have to prove your case and the people have a chance to defend themselves.
But isn't this like almost like a freaking violation of due process? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, might as well. I mean, this freaking law is, if I understand it almost as written, it's almost freaking unconstitutional.
Well, so it's unclear. Because you can provide after the fact due process, where okay, well, after the fact, then you can appeal or you can.
But once you've caused all these economic damages to somebody because of this,
they're dead.
Exactly.
And the key is it's also written in a very wide way, so it's no longer the site has to be like right now. They've done this kind of thing in a few cases where sites have been shown that basically all they do is pirating. Now, even then, again, most of these are offshore, and they're very, and you can easily get around it. But this now says that you can essentially do this for even if there's a tiny bit of content. So, for instance, Google is against this because YouTube would be vulnerable because people are uploading copyrighted stuff all the time onto YouTube, and they take action, then they shut it down and they remove it. But you know. And the content owners probably wouldn't go after Google because they're big and can defend themselves, but they could. Any site where users are allowed to add content themselves, including comments, because if you put in your comment a link to copyrighted material, guess what? The site that you just commented on is now vulnerable to these takedown requests. And part of the problem with this law is, of course, that it's written very, very broadly. Now, that, you know, of course, all of these people will say, well, maybe it's written broadly, but we will, of course, use it very narrowly and carefully and blah, blah, blah. But history just doesn't show that. First of all, you know, you should never grant people broader power than is absolutely needed. But second, you know, in the entire history of this kind of thing has been people abusing these kinds of things.
That's true. That's a problem.
Because this could be used to do, all somebody has to do is, if there's a site that they don't like, is have someone post a link to some copyrighted content, then complain about it. Boom, right. Site goes away. Right. You know, this is not healthy. This is not, I look at this kind of stuff and say, you know, people have always said that the internet routes itself, interprets censorship as damage and routes around it. This kind of stuff is a real test to that. To see if that is really true. To see if, like, because, this thing may well pass. You know, the history of these things is that they pass. Sometimes they're adjusted a little bit because, you know, the big internet companies like Google and a whole bunch of others, have come out against this. Flickr, Twitter, I don't know, Flickr. What was I thinking of? Not Flickr.
Why not Flickr?
I'm not going to open that. You're standing in the window. You need to get down. Come here.
Daddy.
What the hell?
Okay. So, anyway... anyway,
so Sam, could these be interrupted?
I'm all flustered now. Anyway, look for those listening. Look at this thing; it's awful. But my worry with all of these things, and by the way, this goes hand in hand. The two places where the parties tend to agree all the time are on the most horrible things possible. Things like this kind of ridiculous copyright legislation that give the copyright holders all kind of power that restrict the ability of individuals to create, make use of content, makes it very difficult for internet startups because they have to worry about all of this kind of stuff. Is that and, legislation like the Patriot Act and other things like this that are restricting other kinds of freedoms. It's like, if there's anything that our two parties agree on, why does it have to be this kind of crap?
Crap, right.
It is all about restricting personal freedom, adding additional power to the government, adding additional power to the ability of large corporations to, protect their business models and things like that. Whereas, the healthiest thing, not just... I want to be careful. I'm not necessarily being like, hey, everybody should have the right to pirate everything all the time, although I kind of think that. But anyway, if you loosened up all this stuff, if you let people compete, if you let these old business models go under, you'd get all kinds of creative new things coming up. There are all kinds of new things that could be out there that, maybe the old-fashioned business model of spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a blockbuster movie goes away. Maybe that does go away. But it would be replaced by all kinds of things that might be better. I don't know. But as long as you're trying to, with legislation, protect... old ways of doing things at the cost of, making it really, really difficult for people to... yes. Yes, I know, it's a car. You're just screwing over everything, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. Except, of course, the old content makers. Anyway, I've ranted, and it wasn't particularly coherent because I kept getting interrupted, so I apologize.
Okay. All right. Well...
Anyway...
On that note,
rules on the internet suck. And look, the one other third place that this comes in is restrictions of political speech and stuff. And we're not going to spend a whole segment on it. It's about time for us to go. But the other part of this that is the recent crackdowns on Occupy. It's like I've said before, I'm not really sure I agree with the Occupy people. I understand they have a point, but I don't really like their tactics, and I'm not sure what they really want, and I'm not out there marching and would not be. However, it's absolutely ridiculous, the actions that have been taken against them. And it's like, really? What country are we living in here?
I know.
You know? I know. Anyway. I guess we're done.
Yep. All right. Well,
why don't you sign us off, Yvonne?
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Curmudgeon's Corner. If you have questions, comments, anything, we like hearing from our listeners, okay? So email them to ablesmay@ablesmay.com, and we will read and we'll go over it the next time we have a show. So thanks very much, and hopefully have a great week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.